Okay, I think we got the message of why bastards are going to school. But clearly there are some kids who have no problem about showing their opposition to school. And so it's time to welcome the man with the patience of Job. And if you've ever watched Mr. Drew's School for Boys on Channel 4 or his earlier programme, Educating Essex, you'll know exactly what I mean. So welcome to Phoenix FM, Mr. Drew.
Thank you, Scott. Good to be here.
And first off, may I call you Stephen?
Of course.
Thank you very much. I didn't want to upset you and end up being sent onto the naughty bench. Now, as you may know, apart from his regular TV appearances, Stephen's main claim to fame is as headmaster of Brentwood County High School. And just as a matter of interest, are you a parent yourself?
Yes, I am. I have a son who is in year 12 and a daughter in year 8.
And in spite of all of that, you've still got all your own hair and teeth. You're doing very well.
Well, I think the hair is starting to disappear.
I know how you feel. Now, why on earth were you willing to give up all your precious summer holidays to spend working with those especially challenging boys and their parents, for that matter?
Teaching is what I do. Working with young people is what I've wanted to do for my whole life. And being a head teacher is a great privilege to have. And you have the chance to work, as I do at Brentwood County High, with 1,400 young people and obviously thousands of parents and hundreds of staff. So when an opportunity comes up to do a bit more, to do something a bit different, spend more time helping a particularly challenging group of young people and families who are facing lots of difficulties, it's something that I'm quite happy to do. I also know that I perhaps have a unique opportunity amongst teachers in Britain to be able to do something which is a much more public-facing activity than most teachers have the opportunity to do. So when Channel 4 approached me and we discussed the opportunity of doing this, it was actually something I was very keen to do. I got the opportunity to rewrite their original brief and to actually make the programme what I wanted it to be. So really, it was an opportunity that I was perfectly happy to do and really too much of an opportunity to turn down.
I can understand that. Now, had you previously worked with the other teachers you had with you on that?
No, I didn't know any of the other teachers previous to the programme. I gave the production company a brief of the kind of people who I wanted, what sort of subject specialisms I wanted, and then told them to really go off and find different people. And they would come back to me every once in a while with videos of people who they had sort of interviewed and they'd heard were quite good. And then so but surely we trawled through and rejected some people and brought some people on board. But I had discussed and met all the people beforehand, but they weren't people I'd worked with before.
But presumably you had a chance to get to know them a little bit before the whole event that everybody descended on you.
Yes, we only really met properly as a group a couple of weeks before we started, and we spent a couple of days together before then, and we had some time together the day before we actually started filming.
Bit of a challenge, I'd say. Fastball with topspin, I'd call that.
Yeah, a bit of a challenge, but at the same time, that's what we do. As teachers, you deal with these things all the time. So although if you're looking at it from outside and you aren't somebody who works with young people and families, it can seem quite an extreme challenge. The nature of the job that you do as a teacher, working with young people and their families, this is what we do. And although obviously it then became very intense over the 4 weeks that we filmed it, it really was just an example of the day-in, day-out experience that you have as a teacher. Just everything was compacted into one small area.
And what did you actually hope to achieve in just 4 weeks?
There's two sides to that question, really. In terms of for the young people and their families themselves, I hope that we will be able to show them that there were different ways to do things from what they were currently doing. These are families who are struggling. I don't think any family sets out to have a problematic child who causes them great difficulties. No parent sets out to be at the gates of the school each day and being embarrassed by what their children have done, having to go in and see the head teacher and the class teacher and be told yet again that your child has done this or this. Nobody sets out to be the parent at the gate who's embarrassed by the way the other parents look at you. And nobody sets out to have a situation where your child behaves in such a way that it destroys your ability to have a happy family life. But equally, these parents are in a situation where they're in a rut. And what we really wanted to do for them was to break that rut, break that cycle, show them there are other ways of doing things, get them to open their eyes and challenge what they were doing. From a wider point of view, I wanted the opportunity to show people in society who would be watching the programme or talking about the programme that actually it's very easy to judge families in this situation, have a very negative view of them, and to consider them to be somehow bad people or bad parents, and actually to realise that what we've got is some very vulnerable and challenged people, people who face great difficulties and often don't know how to resolve them, but with the right support, guidance, care, help, challenge, that people can actually change the way in which they live their lives and can improve. And hopefully people looking outside can maybe move away from what can be knee-jerk reactions of negativity towards families in this situation and actually consider that, to some extent, there but for the grace of God goes anyone.
Because the trouble is, when you suddenly become a parent, you find they don't come with a book of instructions.
Absolutely. My own children will happily point out that I am not some kind of wonder parent who gets it right all the time. My own children will happily look at me in the way that teenagers do, with that dismissive look, and just look at me as if to say, what are you talking about? So it isn't easy for any of us. And often, if we haven't got that right structure and family connections and community in place, it can all go very, very wrong.
And can you really believe that you have any chance of achieving any real lasting behavioural changes in just 4 weeks to undo a lifetime of bad habits?
Yes, I think it's perfectly possible in a 4 week intense period to do that. I don't think you can change the world overnight. I don't think you can make it for these families that somehow life is going to be easy for them. One of the things that we made clear to them all the way through was that it was more about what they were willing to do almost than what we could give to them. They had to buy into it. We had some very challenging situations with them. But what became very clear was that once these parents got over the hurdle of accepting that they need to change what they did, that it helped a lot. I constantly talked to the production company and the people filming during the 4 weeks, who would always ask me, you know, what have we achieved today? And I would always say, well, it's 3 steps forward, 2 back. And some days it was like 1 step forward and 8 back. And then other days it would be better. But what we know is that we showed the family ways in which they can act and behave, and by constantly just reinforcing that and being positive and getting them to challenge what they did, you can make significant change. But it doesn't mean that they all suddenly went back to their lives and the whole world was a rosy picture. That's not how things work. But also, we shouldn't look at something and assume that somehow in any 4 week period we're going to change the world. What we're going to do is give people an opportunity to do things differently.
Now, I know you've been in contact, of course, with some of the families since the program, but how far will you go in terms of continuing to monitor their future progress or development?
What we did, obviously, in the first few weeks afterwards when they went back to school, we had some quite intense contact with different boys and their parents. Mm. And obviously, that wasn't just me. We had the team of 6 adult staff who were involved. And we also had people from the production company from Channel 4 being involved with the different families. I've had phone calls and I've visited about half of the children since, and they've all been visited in some way. What we've then done is, as time has gone on, understandably, obviously, it becomes less, because actually they then need to stand on their own 2 feet and they need to do more. But also, one of the things that we did was we spoke to their schools and we had conversations with their head teachers or their teachers and said, look, you know, we've done this and we've done this, and if we do this, and this is what you can expect. We also very strongly encourage the parents to engage much positive with their schools and to go in and have meetings with the teachers, with the head teacher, with members of staff, to actually reinforce that. As time goes on, we continue to be in touch with them and in contact with them, but equally I wouldn't say that we can somehow manage their lives for them. To some extent they have got to then take that responsibility, but obviously we've given them the tools and the ability to get it right.
Would you do it again?
Would I do it again? I think I would do it again. Yes, I would do it again. I don't consider it to be some massive, great big problem for us. I think about the way in which schools are. When you are part of a school, you are part of it forever. And although we obviously spent 4 weeks with these families, we could do it again. I think of my own school. I think of Brentwood County High. And one of the things that we're always very keen on is people knowing they're part of the school forever. We're promoting our alumni association at the moment and getting former students to come along and to be part of our school. And we've had loads of contact from people. And some of those students probably didn't do very well at school. They probably actually had lots of problems. They probably had a very negative view of school. But they still contact the school. They come along to our open days. And they are part of that alumni group. And I think that as a teacher, you have a great privilege in that regard.
Now, the thing that I noticed is that for all their antisocial behaviour, some of the boys were not only pretty intelligent, but they were unusually articulate for their age. Was that something that's struck me, but perhaps that isn't quite right?
No, I think you're absolutely right. It is so often the case that children have very great talents and that their intellect works in a very, very strong way. What I really see a lot of these boys as, and their families almost an extension of, is that they have all the talents required to get it right. They have all the ability to get it right, but it's uncontrolled. It's all over the place. I think of some of the boys in the conversations I have with them, they would make what they thought were very well argued and very well articulated points, but what they weren't doing was considering the impact of what they were doing and they were saying. And therefore, it wasn't about taking away from them those talents and abilities. It was about directing them in the right way. Sometimes with children, it's about actually saying to them, yeah, okay, but you know what? You're just not right. You actually can't do that. And sometimes the adults have to be in charge. And as much as I believe that you should always, as an adult, listen to children and take on board what young people say, you also have to have the confidence as an adult to turn around sometimes and say, no, I'm sorry, actually you're wrong. and that what we say as the adults in the situation is correct. I'm going to do it for your best interest. I'm going to do it because I care. I'm going to do it to make your life better. But these were perfectly intelligent boys, but they were boys who lacked the structure. And that's where we as adults have to take responsibility, be it as parents or as school. We have to recognise they are children. And if they get it wrong, it isn't really their fault. They have to take responsibility for it. But if they get it wrong as children, that's our fault as adults, because we should have helped them to do better.
Well, obviously, I mean, children need to understand that all their actions must have consequences, good or bad, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And am I being unfair to suggest that some of them aren't interested in school because they think that the nanny state's going to look after them if they can't get a job, or that if they turn to a life of crime, there'll be little or no comeback? Was that very unfair?
I think it's unfair, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I think it shows a view in society that totally fails to understand it. The idea that somebody would deliberately choose not to take responsibility for something and spend their life living on benefits or somehow avoiding responsibility, I think is often something that is put forward by people who just don't fundamentally understand what that means. People can look at boys like this and their families like this and think, oh, isn't that easy? Isn't that great for them? People want to work. People want to have jobs. People don't want to be living with other people paying for what they do. Where, you know, people lose their independence. They lose their ability to control what they do. You can have a situation which is incredibly draconian. You can run a situation with, you can fill up prisons with hundreds of thousands of people. You can run a corporal punishment system in schools. You can do all the things you want to do. But you're not actually solving the problems. You solve the problems by empowering people, by giving them confidence. You solve the problems by giving them the skills to survive and to cope. And you solve the problems by giving people respect, by giving them the ability to have the self-respect for what they do, and not by running them down. That's how you solve the problems. And I don't think that we somehow have a society which is full of people who don't take responsibility for things, or is full of people who somehow rely on others and this nanny state phrase. What we have is a society where people actually do want to take responsibility, but we don't give them the tools to do so at times.
So you don't think that society's grown soft and flabby and we're reaping the whirlwind by unleashing monsters who could soon become uncontrollable monsters? Nonsense, is it?
I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I think that to suggest that somehow we have a society that is running that way is completely wrong. In actual fact, all of the statistics that are coming out of public health organisations at the moment show that drug taking amongst young people is its lowest level for decades, show that alcohol abuse amongst young people is falling and is at a very low level compared to what it was historically. The proportion of children who smoke is at its lowest level that it has been for decades. This isn't some group of young people who are somehow out there causing massive great big problems. Often one of the problems we have is that young people don't go out. I'm not sure how we can argue that we have a generation of young people who cause massive problems, yet equally we also argue in the next breath that we have a generation of young people who never go out. Apparently they spend their entire time sat on their Xboxes and they don't even go out. So how can this generation of young people who in the one breath never leave the house, are so lazy that they never do anything physical, are all moving towards being obese and unhealthy, yet in the next breath they're apparently all out on the streets causing loads of problems? It just doesn't stack up. What it smacks of is a society that's quite happy to run down its young people and actually doesn't consider that young people are often some of the most responsible people you could ever find. It's just not fair.
So how do you react, as you saw on the film, and maybe it's the way that the film was cut, that of course I don't know, but we saw their parents swearing, using bad language themselves, eating the wrong foods, laughing when their kids use bad language, and generally exhibited antisocial behaviour. And at the same time, even I think one family argued with you when you tried to stop them eating all the things with E numbers, etc.
I think that it would be better if we reflected upon the fact that sometimes people don't actually know exactly what the right thing to do is. When you are faced with a challenging child, when you are faced with a child who refuses to cooperate with you, as a parent you can be worn down by that. You can start with the greatest possible of intentions, that your child won't swear, that your child will go to bed at the right time, and over a period of time and years people can be ground down by their children and can end up giving in to get an easy life. Now we can criticise people for that, but actually what we need to do is help them. Unfortunately, some of the families that we worked with were in this pattern of behaviour where it was easier for them to defend their child's poor behaviour than it was to take responsibility. Nobody particularly likes in life to be told they haven't done something well, or to be told that they're not doing something properly. And being told as a parent that you're not doing the right thing is one of the most challenging things that can happen to you, because your children are an extension and reflection of you. So therefore, if you just go in there and say, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, what you need to do is create an environment where people are prepared to listen. Now, Now, obviously, the way in which we film the programme and the way in which we work the summer school did involve sometimes quite bluntly challenging what some parents did. And that is where the conversations come from. But I don't look at those parents as somehow being failures. I don't look at them as wanting to have that problem. I look at them as not quite knowing how to resolve the issue, not really understanding what they were supposed to do. And actually, the swearing thing simply represents society. Lazy swearing is something that we hear all the time. We can hear it walking down the street. Yes. And we hear it from adults. We don't just hear it from children. We hear it from adults. We hear it on the television. We hear it on the radio. We hear it all over the place. And we have people who just present it as being okay. And what those adults are failing to do, and those are adults who are in positions of responsibility, positions of power, positions of authority. They are adults who actually don't realise the impact of their actions. I very, very rarely blame the child for what goes on. I blame the adults in society for creating the environment. Either we believe as a society that we influence our children or we don't. And if we believe we influence our children, then we have to take responsibility for what happens badly as well as what happens well.
All right. Now, we keep hearing about ADHD, NIMH and Asperger's and the like. Aren't these just excuses for bad behaviour? Because I never heard about it when I was at school. Or is it like post-traumatic stress that it's something that's now recognised but wasn't recognised before?
My degree is history and I've taught history. And it's very, very interesting to look at the fallout from World War One. We're coming up to the centenary of the start of World War One now. There were millions of men who came back to Britain after World War One, who had been in the trenches of the Western Front, who had fought at Gallipoli, who had fought all over Europe. They had post-traumatic stress disorder. What we had was a society that had, perhaps we argue that stiff upper lip, it ignored it or it pretended it wasn't there. You look at these men who lived their lives for decades afterwards. They clearly had PTSD, but society didn't deal with it. Now, if you ignore it completely, fine, you all carry on. There are many, many conditions which have a negative impact on a child's ability to succeed, ADHD being one of them, ODD, oppositional defiance disorder, a way in which a child just normally reacts negatively to everything that's done for them. Now, you can dismiss that as teenage tantrum, or you can actually look at this situation and consider what the problem is. They are not excuses of bad behaviour, and anyone who says that they excuse the child's behaviour and make it okay is totally failing to understand what's going on here. What those are conditions. They are genuine conditions that make it difficult for children to function. Surely as adults in a compassionate society, we have a responsibility to recognise that and make their lives easier. If we can make their lives easier by setting up the systems and structures that support them, by parents doing what they need to do, by schools doing what they should do, by health services doing what they should do, then actually we make it easy for that child to function, that child can succeed more, and that child can do well. If we just say, oh, well, you're just a naughty child, you don't solve the problem. You might feel better. We might feel better as society because we might be saying, oh, well, don't use your excuses, but we don't actually make it better. Society is better today at recognising issues and problems. We're not always brilliant at dealing with them.
So what's the answer? Because obviously there aren't lots of Mr. Drews around to go around dealing with this. And as we've seen, a lot of the schools that these children went to, they've been excluded from one school after another. So what can be done?
Right. First thing I would say is there are lots of Mr. Drews out there. There are thousands of people who do exactly what I do on a day in, day out. Within Brentwood, we have a number of secondary schools and primary schools. There are dozens of people who do their job as well, if not better, than I do in our schools within Brentwood.
Can't believe that.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. I go into other schools and I am humbled by what I see people do. I go to presentations by people from other schools in our local area, and I'm humbled by what I see my colleagues doing. There are people doing what I do day in, day out across the country. What we need is a society in which we support our teachers and we support our schools to solve these problems, where we are seen to be compassionate, where parents take responsibility for what they do, and people stop blaming each other for things. I don't believe that it is the case that there is a shortage of people able to solve these problems. I just think that at times we lack the will as a society and as a community to deal with them. It's very easy to say, just exclude this child, kick this child out, get rid of this child when they're 9 or 10 years old. That doesn't solve the problem.
But then what are you suggesting that some of these schools that are excluding the children should do?
I think that there are many ways in which you can deal with a problem as a school. You can seek support, you can seek help, you can change the way in which you operate, you can do many, many things. However, one of the things that people like about schools is that they're not all the same. we talk about parental selection and choice. We talk about the fact that we have a number of different schools. We look at secondary schools within Brentwood. We have six schools. They are six different schools. And that is surely what people want. So therefore, people can select and support their school to follow whatever process they follow. You've also got the case where the pressure on schools to solve their problems immediately is massive. So therefore, if we have government and Ofsted and others who are putting the pressure on school, it is unsurprising that schools sometimes go to what could be a very quick response to solve a problem. If you remove a problem child who is causing behaviour issues, actually that child's no longer your responsibility. All you've done is shoved the problem somewhere else. What we need is a framework and a situation that allows schools to take time to deal with these problems, which means they don't have the immediate pressure that they face at the moment. It also means that people have to be willing to allow schools to do their job.
And how large is the problem? Is it not as large as is often portrayed in the media?
I think we have to recognise that we live in a 24/7 digital media age, and that leads to the vilification of young people. It is incredibly easy to take a story which has occurred 400 miles away and then make it national news or even local news in another part of the country in a way that would never ever have been the case before. We shouldn't assume that because we hear more about these things that there are more examples of it. I don't think that young people are worse behaved today than they were before. I don't think they're more disrespectful than they were before. I think that young people get a very bad press and a very bad media, and they are presented very negatively. I think we have problems, but we have problems in our society. But I certainly don't think young people are somehow worse behaved than they ever were in the past.
It's just different.
Just.
It's the same as we all are.
We present it differently.
Yeah. All right, look, thanks ever so much for coming in and talking to us today, Stephen. I'm going to take this opportunity to congratulate you on all you've achieved at Brentwood County High since taking over as headmaster, and wish you well with all your efforts to take the school to even greater heights.
Thank you very much.